Even though normally once there's indirect damage, a grama, a person's usually not liable for that because it's indirect. The Torah only was mechayev if you make a direct hezek, not if it's indirect. But in cases called garmi, where the person, like we discussed the case, someone burnt up someone's lottery ticket, winning lottery ticket, where it's a direct act upon the thing that's causing the damage, even though it's a not direct damage, the lottery ticket's not intrinsically worth anything, but it enables you to collect, and you acted upon that thing, and it's a clear-cut damage. The guy had won $1 million, and now he lost it. So in that case, a person is chayev as dino de garmi. If it doesn't have these conditions, so then it's just a plain grama where we said a person's not liable, the courts can't make him pay. He is liable to pay anyway because he caused that damage, but the courts can't make him pay. This week I'd like to discuss one last case in this types of grama, garmi, indirect cases. This is a real case that happened a couple hundred years ago. It's the Panim Eros brings down, this is Shiloh that came up to him. Panim Eros is a grandnephew of the Shach. So he lived in a generation as the Note of Yehuda a couple hundred years ago. So it seems that there was, they had fairs in those days. Right? Nowadays they have boat shows and stamp shows and card shows. In those days they had fairs for metals. They had a fair for where you could sell metals. And there was a dealer there who brought a lot of iron. He wanted to sell his iron. Now, unbeknownst to him, he had someone that claimed money from him, and he hadn't been paying him, and his friend of his wanted to get his money back. So he disguised himself as a iron dealer, and he went over to this guy and said, "How much iron you got there? You have 10 tons, I'll take it all." And you know, when you have, you're at a fair, you don't have to pay, and you make the payments at the last day of the fair. So he took the 10 tons of iron, you know, took it out of that guy's backyard, and at the last day of the fair, the iron merchant went over to him and said, "Okay, you owe me whatever it is, $100,000 and he said, "I was fooling you. I didn't really want to buy you any iron." You know, he took off his disguise. I don't know exactly how it happened, and he said, "Remember me? You owe me $50,000. I just took the iron here in order to be able to collect my debts, which I sold off the rights to this, half the iron to the other person, and here, take the rest of your iron back." So the iron merchant said, "You caused me big damage over here." Right? The iron, you know, it takes a lot of money to schlep it here, it's here. And the time you can sell it is in this week period of the iron fair. That's the time you could sell it. After the iron fair is finished, it's not worth anything. You can't sell it anymore. And you, by holding it during the whole time of that iron fair without intending to buy it, you admit that you weren't intending to buy it. You're withholding my ability to make that sale, and you caused me a loss. Let me give you another case. Maybe it's more contemporary. Suppose you have baseball cards. Right? Baseball cards aren't worth anything. But when the... Well, let's say they're not worth anything. But when they have the show, you know, the card dealers come into town and they have their baseball card show, so then all of a sudden the cards that you had that you couldn't sell all become very valuable because they're coming from all over the country to buy your baseball cards, and now they become valuable. So suppose you had lent it to your friend to look at, you know, the week before the show. He said, "But make sure you give it back to me because I need it for the show. I want to sell them." You know, you could look at them, enjoy them, but keep them in good condition. I'm going to sell them. And the guy decides that I'm going to play a trick on him. He thinks he won me flipping the other day. I'll get back at him for winning me that game. So he holds the cards until after the dealers leave, and they say, "Here they are. Here are your cards back." So he says to him, "You caused me a big damage. If when the baseball card dealers were here, I had them, I would have sold them for $10,000. I had Rookie of the Year cards. And you stopped me from being able to sell them. Now what can I do with them? No one in the whole town wants to buy them now. You caused me a damage." And the other guy says, "I caused you a damage." "You're right, I caused you a damage. It's grama. But here they are. What did I damage? Like last week, at least, the guy burnt up his lottery ticket. Over here, the cards are still in his possession. And here they are back. I'm giving them back to you. What did I damage?" Right? So that's the Panim Eros' case. That he's at this iron show, and he takes all the iron so the guy can't sell it. At the end of the show, he gives it back and says, I just was trying to collect my debt. The iron merchant number one says, you stopped me from being able to make money over here. The disguised merchant who just wanted to get his debt back says, here's your iron, what did I damage? The iron is just as good as it was. I'll polish it for you, it'll be nice and good. What did I do to you? Okay, so I'll tell you, well, let's look at a few more halachas, including this one of locking the door. Okay, let's talk about that halacha. Right. I have a hotel. I rent out rooms to it. And someone comes along and locks the door so I can't rent out the hotel. You know, he put a sign, closed, sorry, closed. What did I damage? I didn't damage anything. I put a lock in. It's worth more now. It's now protected. Did I damage anything? What did I damage in that case?
Usage.
What?
Usage.
Usage. So is damaging, is withholding usage, is that liable? Is someone liable for withholding usage? That's the question. So we'll start with the Gemara about Metzia. Now this is a whole issue in itself, this Gemara. So okay, the Gemara says like this: Hasocher is a umnim. It's a brisa. It's really the mission. The brisa elaborates on the mission. Hasocher is a umnim. Someone hired workers. The hitu as bal habayis. They fooled the employer and didn't show up. They called him and said, "Sorry, we got another job." O bal habayis hita oson, or the employer fooled them and said, called up to say, oh, "I'm sorry, we don't need you tomorrow. We got another caterer." You can't make any claim against them. All you can do is complain. You have nothing but complaints, right? There's no, I didn't damage you. I didn't make any monetary loss for you. I prevented you from maybe making a profit. I don't know, but there's no damages.
In the meantime, they turned down.
Okay, good. We're going to get to that. We're going to get there. Right. That's a good question, right? So the Gemara is saying it's tarumas. Tosfos has a kasha on that. Tosfos says, Kasha Liri, Da Kaimel and Kara Meir, we passing like a mayor, did doyin dina de garmi. Right? We learned last week there's a din called dina de garmi. Even though the damage might be indirect, but still a person is responsible for indirect damages. Like we said in Hagozal Kama. In Cain, therefore, am I leitin lahem kapoel batol, he should have to at least give him the money of a work, except he doesn't have to pay him the full salary that he gets because he didn't really work, right? The halacha of a pole bottle means, suppose I make $500 a day normally, so I'd be willing to accept $400 a day to take the day off, right? So you didn't cause me a $500 loss, you caused me a $400 loss.
To take off, or is it to be ready to work for this person if they need him?
Right, so he's saying, right now I was ready for you. I was ready to work for you, so I can't charge the full $500 because, you know, I didn't have to work. So then I should get a discount from that, you know, and I would be normally willing to take a little 10% off to not have to work one day without any other penalties, right? I'd be willing to. So over here, the employer, the tentative employer, caused this employee a loss. He could have got a job somewhere else, and by tying him up, he didn't get. We're going to have a case tying up, literally. But by tying him up here, by hiring him, and he thought he turned down the other catering job, say, he has nothing to do today. So Yesh Lama, Tosfos answers, Demari, because we're talking over here, Kesha Choser Bo, when the employer reneges on his deal, Od Yimtzu is Taka, they can find another job. Right? So Tosfos says, the Gemara is talking where they didn't have any big loss. Because, okay, that's a little bit of a tircha, they have to go find another job. That's why it's tarumas. I prefer to be settled. I know working here, not to go run around to the last minute to find a new job. But so Tosfos is saying, because there's no loss. But from this Tosfos we see that if there had been a loss, if you hired someone, and let's say the case of a caterer, you line it up 3 weeks in advance. So the night before, the chasana, you say, oh, I forgot to tell you that we found a cheaper one and we don't need you. So what's he going to do a day before with all these chickens and everything? I forget the chickens, but you know, we're not talking about chickens. We're talking that he lost opportunity to make money now. So Tosfos says he'll be liable for dina de garmi. It's not the same garmi as we had last week. Last week the garmi was a little bit easier to hear. There the garmi was I took the lottery ticket and ripped it up or burnt it up, or the receipt, whatever the case we're talking about, the things that were real garmis. Here I didn't damage anything, but I guess the way to look at it is I didn't see it clearly, anyone say it like this, but I think the way to look at it is that a person is potentially, a person is active. A person potentially is supposed to be working. That's what he can do. And if I stop that person from working, either by a verbal commitment or by locking him up in a room, which you mentioned that we have Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama, it's on the second sheet I have on Pehei. It says that the case of Sheves, making someone liable for loss of work, is if he locks him up in a room and he can't work anymore. And the Rami Pana says that's from Dina de Garmi. Not everyone agrees with him, but he learns it as Dina de Garmi. That seems to be what Tosfos is saying also, that there's a Dina de Garmi in stopping someone from work. It's like ripping up every day. I have the potential to make money, and you ripped up that potential by not letting me go to work that day, either by locking me up in a room literally or by tying me up figuratively and assuming that I would have that job, and then you're telling me, I'm sorry, I don't need you. Okay, and there's a whole halacha there, if he didn't know, you know, but that's not our halacha. That's not the issue here about employee halachas. There's some cases you hire a guy to mow the lawn and it rains, it wasn't your fault, so you know, that's a whole separate issue. We're just talking about the hazard. Okay, so that would seem a good precedent to extend the din of garmi a little bit that we learned last week, that it's called a damage if I withhold someone from working. That's like, even though it's indirect, because of this he can't go to work and get his salary, but it's immediate, it's a clear hezek. He had the opportunity to make jobs, especially the season. It's easy to make jobs the season, to mow a lawn, to have a catering job, to do something like that, and he messed it up. Now the problem is there seems to be a contradiction with another Tosfos. Tosfos in Bava Kama, the Gemara Bava Kama, talks about people who have these hotels for rent and they put a lock on the door. So the Gemara says, Nina Chayiv. It's a grama. And Tosfos says, Afilu Gersha Chaveiro Mibeso. Even if he chased the guy out of the house, the Nala Dels upon him and he locked the door in front of him so he couldn't rent it out, Ein Zeh Ela Grama V'Yama. It's only grama. And there's no dinim in the Bezin. Bezin can't make him chayiv. It's only a grumet. He should pay him. But he's not chayiv. So all the achronim ask, there's a contradiction between the two Tosfos. Tosfos over here said that if you stop the worker from going to work, employee from stopping to work, that's called dinim de garmi. I stopped his potential to work. How's that different than when I stopped his hotel room from being able to be rented out? Right? What's the difference between preventing this guy from going to work, that we're saying is dinah d'garmi, and preventing the hotel owner to rent out his hotel? And the truth is, the answer that I put here says there is no difference. And the only difference is the circumstances. He says that the Tosfos in Bava Metzia, the first Tosfos he mentioned, is talking where, like the case of the caterer, for sure he would have had a job, and that's a clear loss. You prevented me from getting to work where I would have for sure had a job. You know, it's a case of a regular person who works in the government, and every time he punches the clock he gets money, and you lock him up so he can't get to work. So you prevented me from getting my paycheck. All I had to do was show up and punch the clock, I would have gotten the job. The case of renting a house, the Pilpul Chavruta says, if you ever were in real estate, you would know that you have vacancies sometimes, right? Sometimes there are vacancies. So just because you locked the door and I couldn't rent it out tonight, who says someone would have come to buy it? So then if there was a reservation, so then it would, you know, that would be the same thing then, right? So that's what he's saying. He's saying that we're talking about two cases. We're talking the case of an employee who for sure lost out on another job. In that case, that dinah de garmi. But if it's not so clear, if it's not so clear that I would have had the loss, so then you can't make him chayiv midinei adam. So then this would come out that even though there's a Yerushalmi, which is the last thing on the sheet that says Hamavatil Kiso Shel Chaveiro, meaning I stop someone, a kiso is a wallet. I take his wallet so he can't use it for what he wanted to use it for. If I take someone's wallet away from him so he can't make his profits that day, he can't buy that option that shot up to 100,000 times in one day. Right? I stopped him from doing that. The Yerushalmi says a person is pater, he only has taruma, it's the same lashon as in Bava Tzira, he only can have complaints against him, but no monetary claim. That's only talking where there is not a clear, it's not 100% clear that he would have made the money. But if it's 100% clear, the person will be chayiv. It's a bichidish, not everyone agrees with this, and that's why the halacha, there are differences, but based on the Panim Meiris's logic, we're going to make this difference, that when I prevent someone from using his property or from using himself, if it's clear that I cost him money from either not being able to hire himself out or from not being able to use that property for whatever he was going to use to, it's a clear hezek, so then it's dina degarmi. The cases where we said that he's not chayiv is talking where it wasn't so clear. It wasn't a clear hezek. It was who says he can rent out the room, who says that when he puts the money in the market it's going to go up. Right? Then you can't say, well, I was going to buy this stock and it went up. You know, it has to be something clearer. It has to be a case. Let's go to the Panim Meiris' case now. The Panim Meiris' case was the guy had this big ton of iron. He was there at the fair where he could have made the money. He could have sold it, and very easily, you know, there are plenty of buyers there to buy the iron. And the other guy, who through his shenanigans took the iron away that he couldn't, stopped him from being able to sell it. So the Panim Meiris brings a precedent from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that just like Tosfos in Bava Metzia says that if I prevent someone from a clear profit from being able to hire himself out, that's called dina degarmi. So the Panim Meiris says the same thing over here, where I prevented him from being able to sell his iron, it's a clear hezek, I have been chayiv as dina degarmi. Right, that's the way he paskens. The Netziv says a different added reason. He says, and I think this is easier to hear maybe by the case of the iron. Right, the case of the iron, right now the iron is worth $100,000. That's what it's worth now. When I take it into my backyard and stop you from selling it, it has now gone down in value to almost nothing, because if there's no seller, no buyers, it's not worth anything. So what I've done is I've held your money and I've held your property in my possession and forced the price down by not allowing you to sell it. That's why the Nitziv says the person would be chayiv in this case. He brings the same case and talks about it. He's like, and like the baseball cards, like they have no value right now. They had value the week that the traders were here, but by me holding it during that week, I prevented you from selling it, so they went down in value. Right, and that's why you can hear by property. You couldn't say that by the person himself. That I didn't put him down in value, but it's an additional thing by the case of the iron and the case of the baseball cards that I lowered the value of them by holding them until the dealers left town. So let's talk about three possible cases which I think could happen. Right, you lent your car to someone and you thought he was responsible, and he said, I need it back because, like, it's a car, it's not worth anything, it's, you know, held together by strings and tissue paper, and you couldn't sell it for anything, but you know that you have someone coming into town on Sunday who likes those kinds of cars. They won't even be sold at auction. This car is so bad you couldn't even sell it at auction for scrap metal. But I have someone who it runs, and I have someone that's going to come to, and if he sees it, he'll buy it for sure and take it back home. And sure enough, the guy I lent it to, he was going to Washington, whatever, with it, and he decided to stay an extra day because there was a baseball game, I don't know, and he stayed for an extra day, and he came back late and I wasn't able to sell the car. Okay, that's a second case. I need to, you know, the car is the way I get to the airport, and I said I need the car back on Sunday because I need to take it to the airport, have an important flight, I need the car, and because of that, because he delayed bringing it back in time, I had to spend money to get a taxi to go to the airport because he didn't give it back in time. And the third case is, suppose I'm a taxi driver, I drive Mishulachim around, and say right now I don't need it, there's no one else coming this week, it's Wednesday already, but by next Sunday there are going to be no one's coming in and I need the car to drive then, and because he had the car, I wasn't able to make that profit. But these are three separate cases. The first is, well, you can tell me, what would you say about these three cases? Well, let's take the first case. I wanted to sell the car, and the guy came to town, and because this guy kept it for the extra day without my permission, I wasn't able to sell it. Yeah. In selling the car. Yeah, but I know he's going to buy it. And you're right. So that would be, I should really make it clearer. I should say, the halacha will depend. If it's for sure, he knows for sure this guy collects antiques and he'll call this an antique, so then it's a clear loss. But like you're saying, that if it'll be, well, maybe he'll buy, maybe he won't, I'll see how it drives. So then it's not so bari hezeka, using the lashon of the Rishonim. It's not such a bari hezeka, it's not a clear hezek. Right, so then he wouldn't be chayiv. Now, the other cases, what would you say about the other cases? He has to either spend money, to be able to make up for not having the car, or he loses his ability to make money with his car or his lawnmower. Right? He can't mow the lawn for people on Sunday. So does he have to pay me for keeping my car an extra day? The taxi fare should have to reimburse me. Right, so there's a halacha that Be'er HaGola says in this case of the house where I locked the guy out of the house. So we talked about he was trying to rent out the rooms. I suppose he wasn't trying to rent out the rooms, but what he was trying to do was to live there. And because he didn't have a place to sleep, he had to go rent the room in the Econo Lodge that night. So the Be'er HaGola says in that case he'd have to pay him, he has to reimburse him for his rent money that he has to pay at the Econo Lodge. Right, so that's the second case. That's also pretty clear. The third case, right, I stopped him from making money. Right, is that like I stopped the worker from being able to hire himself out? Right, should it be like that? I stopped him from being able to hire himself out. So, and we'll assume that it was clear that he could have had those customers. So based on what we said until now, right, we were saying that the same thing. It's no difference whether I stop someone himself from making money or I stop him from using his property to make money. But that's the way the Pilpul Charufta seem to be saying, and that's the way the different stories we were saying until now. Some service seems to say a similar thing, that there's no difference if I stop someone from making money or I stop his property from being used to make money. But there's others that disagree. There's a Katzos. The Katzos disagrees with this whole thing. He says that you're assuming that when you lock someone in the room, you're chayev because dinu degarmei, you damaged him, you damaged his ability to make money. But maybe that's not why. Maybe that's not why you're chayev. Maybe the reason you're chayiv is because there's a halacha that if I damage a person, I have to pay him five different damages. I have to pay him, he's worth less now, if whatever I did to him, he'll never be the same again. He won't type as fast if I broke his fingers. But I also have to pay him for the doctor bills. One thing I have to pay him for is his loss of work. It's a special din of Shevis. I have to pay Shevis. If I damage someone, I have to pay Shevis. I have to pay the person for his loss of work. So it could be that when I'm stopping someone from work by locking him in a room, then I am paying damages for stopping him from work as Shevis, not as a mazik. It's as a mazik, but I'm not paying the nezek. There's nezek, tsar, ripo, Shevis, boshes. That's not the nezek I'm paying. I'm not paying the nezek that I made him worth less in value. I'm paying Shevis. I'm paying the fact that he can't work now. I'm paying him he lost his day of work. Now, if that's the case, Shevis only applies if I damage a person. But if I damage someone's ox, right? So if I damage someone's ox, I broke its leg. So what do I have to pay if I damage someone's ox? Well, you estimate what it was worth beforehand. It was worth $1,000. Now it's worth $300, and you pay him $700. And you don't have to pay him for the vet bills that he had to do to get a cast on the ox. You don't have to pay him the days that he couldn't rent out his ox, his lost damage. I think this has to do with it happened with me once with rental cars. right? If you rent a car and it gets damaged and they say you have to pay to fix the damage, plus you have to pay for the days they weren't able to rent it out. It's in the contract. Right? They make you pay for the days they couldn't rent it out. So, al pi halacha, al pi dinei Torah, there's no such thing as sheves by property. Sheves only applies to a person. I can stop a person from working, I have to pay him for his loss of work. But if I lock up his ox, I lock up his car, and prevent him his car from being used, you know, it's in the accident and it has to be fixed, so I'm not chayav to pay sheves for the car. Right? That might go down into the value. Before it was worth $10,000 because I could use it for renting it out every day, and now it's worth $2,000 because I can't rent it out for, you know, that's part of the, that's into the value of the damage of the it's worth less now, but I don't have to pay the loss of work for property. So with that, the Ktos wants to answer the kasha and the contradictions between the two Tosas we started out with. We started out with the Tosas that said if I stop someone from being able to work, I have to pay him if it's a clear hezek, if he for sure would have gotten another job. That was Dina Degarmi. But then we said that if we lock up his house so he can't rent it out, we said that he's not chayim. So the answer we gave until now was one case was talking to Pipul Charifto, saying that was talking where it was a clear damage, and here it wasn't clear that you'd be going to be able to rent out every space you have in your hotel. The Ketos has a different answer. He says, no, when I'm paying that person, there, it's not really Dina Degarmi. I'm paying him because I stopped him from being able to work. It's like a sheves, a Dina Degarmi of sheves. It's his inability to make a job. But when it comes to my house, there's no din of sheves on a house that I stop my house from being able to work. There's no halacha like that. I don't have to pay for stopping someone's house from being able to work. I don't have to pay for stopping his car from being able to work or his ox from being able to work. So if that's the case, over here where I prevent the person from being able to use his car for profit, so using that reason I wouldn't be able to make him chayiv. As the punim, this is no contradiction. It's no contradiction to the punim iris. If he lost the sale on the car, so now the car is worth less. That's the punim iris is chiddush, that if I withhold someone and make it worth less, that's what the nesiv said. So I'm chayiv. That's not sheves. That the car was now worth $10,000 this week, like the baseball cars, like the iron. It was worth this amount this week, and by me holding it, I lowered its value by holding it in my possession. I lowered its value, so I have to pay for that. But over here where I didn't lower it, I prevented you from using it. So even though if I prevent someone from working, that we said clearly according to Tosas, he'd be chayiv if he could have had another job. But if I prevent him from using his car or his whatever from working, so then I might not be chayiv on that. That would be a machlokas, and you know, you'd have to discuss it.
Right, that would apply to the last case.
Right, and to the second case of he had to pay money, that's the Ber HaGola says, not even agrees with him either, but he says that if, in the case of the house, even though I'm not chayiv for preventing him from renting out his house, but if he has to spend money to sleep overnight, so that's a clear hezek also, and I have to pay him for that. So here I have to pay him for his ride to the airport. And this is all assuming that it was bari hezek, it's clear, you know, if there was any doubt. So then we go back to the whole thing, it's only a grumma, it's not so clear. We're talking about a clear hezek. One last point is that we're assuming until now that this applies whether I withheld his car, his ox, his iron, or his money. Right? We said that even though we said if someone holds his wallet, he stops him, he's not chayiv. We said that's only if it's not bari hezekah. But a lot of achronim say, I have chazanish here, a few rishonim, I have a few marukamas here, but a lot of achronim say that by money, there's no such. If whenever I stop someone from using his money, it's never a clear cut. As much as you know that your option is going to go up today, it's never a clear cut bari hezekah when I hold someone's money for making a profit. Maybe if you would find such a case where, you know, if he has the money, he could buy it and immediately sell it. Maybe there'd be such a case, but a lot of us want to say that by money, you don't have this whole thing. So, you know, if one of the cases they talk about is I gave someone my savings account to watch while I was away, and he decided to cash it in and use the money, and he said, here's your money, look, you gave me $1,000, and that's $2,000. I said, what do you mean? It was in the savings account that I was making, not 2%, but I was making, in better days, I was making money, and then you stopped me from making my money, pay it back. It's not ribbis, it's a hezek. So some achronim, some poskim say that, yeah, he'll be chai for that because I stopped his money from making a clear profit that it was in their account. The bank was committed to pay him 5%, 10%, whatever it was. And I stopped him from that profit. And the others will say, well, the whole thing by money doesn't apply. By money, you know, you just hold someone's money, that might not be such a clear hezek. Okay, so this, I think, will conclude the Gaimis and Grumas. Next week, we'll get to another case of probably hezek.